In early September 1620, the Mayflower, an English cargo vessel with a crew of 25 to 30, departed Plymouth, England. On board were 102 passengers. Fewer than half of them were members of a separatist congregation of religious dissenters. Most of the rest were entrepreneurs, inspired to come to these shores by our primary eventual national religion, profit-seeking. Their destination was the mouth of the Hudson River in what was then the northern part of the Virginia colony, where an earlier settlement had been established in Jamestown. That's right. The Mayflower held the latecomers. They were blown off course well to the north, and once in sight of land encountered rough seas that forced them to continue even further northward. 66 days later, in mid-November, they finally came ashore. They were not at Plymouth Rock. Not until the next March would they begin to establish the settlement there on the foundation of a Native American village. They initially landed 50 miles across Cape Cod Bay in what is now Provincetown, Massachusetts, on the northwestern hook of Cape Cod. So today in Provincetown, among other sites some find considerably more enticing, there's a tower rising 252 feet into the air, the tallest all-granite structure in the country, commemorating the landing of the pilgrims. When I was in Provincetown a few years ago, it was actually what is outside of town that was of considerably more interest to me. To the east of Provincetown, there is a 3,500-acre portion of the Cape Cod National Seashore called the Province Lands. Rolling sand dunes give way to dense pitch pine and shrub oak forests, marshy bogs and swamps and grassland. Dotted throughout that terrain are several ponds of varying sizes. Most are quite small, less than an acre or two. Only a few are large enough to have a recognized name. And yet one of these I knew quite well. Not because I'd ever been there, but because I had read about it so often in the poetry and prose of Mary Oliver. Oliver, who moved to Provincetown to be with her partner of many decades, Molly Malone Cook, walks the province lands regularly, and the sights and sounds she encounters often finds her way into her writing. No place gets mentioned more often than Blackwater Pond. At Blackwater Pond, the tossed waters have settled after a night of rain, she observes in her poem by that name. She relates how she drinks from Blackwater Pond, the cold water waking her bones deep inside. In Just Lying on the Grass at Blackwater, Oliver offers us fields of goldenrod, a little sparrow, a pool of shade where even silence can feel like happiness. There's In Blackwater Woods, in which she observes the turning trees and the long tapers of cattails which are bursting and floating away over the blue shoulders of the ponds. For years, I'd read of this place, this pond set amidst the piney woods outside of Provincetown. And so I went, a pilgrim of a different sort, to see for myself Mary Oliver's inspiring pond. Rising around 3 or so and driving all the way from Concord, I wanted to be at the pond in time to see the sun rise. I arrived in a deserted parking lot, excitedly bounded out of the car, strapped on my camera, and plunged into the woods. In her poems of the area, Mary Oliver describes birds, deer, turtles, ducks. What she somehow fails to mention is mosquitoes. Bloodthirsty, swarming, whining mosquitoes. Mosquitoes on steroids, the size of dragonflies. Outsized versions of the tiny southern variety I know so well. Not to be turned away by the mere threat of losing a few pints of blood, one swelling bite at a time, or perhaps contracting some rare strain of Massachusetts malaria, I retreated, showered in repellent, and plunged in again. It was still, calm, quiet. In my several hours sojourn there, I saw not one other human being. The water is indeed black, a deep indigo reflecting pond grasses in the shimmering sun overhead. The pond is dotted with hundreds, thousands of lilies, many of which were in bloom, their alabaster blossoms aglow in the dawning light. There's ample tree cover to walk in the shade and easy access to nearby shimmering dunes marked with scrubby pine outcroppings. After a long, slow walk, I sat down on a ridge above a far bank and simply noticed, watched, listened, breathed. There were swallows doing aerial acrobatics, frogs languorously looking up out of the pond, ducks drifting about, beautiful cattails, and of course, those lilies. Oh, those lilies. Later, I sat watching painted turtles clambering up a stump to sunbathe in the morning warmth. Mary Oliver writes, "Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight." Then adds, "It is what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation." Several years have passed since my pilgrimage to Mary Oliver's Blackwater Pond, but I have carried that visit, those hours there with me. I've reread her poems, taking delight in her capacity to describe ordinary beauty and make it mean so much. Mostly for me, to borrow Oliver's own words, it's about joy and acclamation. Enjoying and acclaiming this world, our world of ponds and forests, mountains and seashores, deserts and plains, blossoming flowers, verdant cropland, and resplendent vernal trees. I give you today Blackwater Pond, not because it is breathtakingly remarkable. Very, very few of the thousands who pour into P-Town each summer even know the pond is there, much less take the time to visit. Blackwater Pond isn't extraordinary. So my real question today is, don't you know some place, some scene, some setting like it? Like Blackwater Pond. A place you too perhaps visited just once, or even better, some setting to which you return again and again. It may be far away, in another country even. It may just as easily be your own yard or a park nearby. It may be dramatic or simple. a stunning vista, a particular tree, a blossoming bush, a quiet stream. It may be a place we'd all acclaim as gorgeous, or someplace that it inspires or excites or calms you, whether or not others appreciate it. Your place, your personal Blackwater Pond may exist now only in your memory, a bygone recollection of a place of beauty you once experienced for yourself. Where is it for you? There's not a one of us in this room today who arrived here without some anxiety, some concern, some frustration, some discontent, one kind of struggle or another. Times are tough for many, including some of us. Finances are stretched too thin. Jobs stretch us too thin. There's too much to do and not nearly enough time to do it. Or there's too much time on our hands and too little energy or capacity to do what we once could. Those we love carry the weight of tough diagnoses. Some of us carry the weight of tough diagnoses. Relationships are strained. Children of all ages trouble us. Parents and other family members of advancing age consume us. We battle addictions, depression, disability, disappointment. We grieve over and over and over. Life is not easy, now or ever. That's the world in which we live, right? Because this is inevitably so, we need places that enable us to, in Mary Oliver's words, to lose ourselves. To lose ourselves in something more than ourselves. We need some place that, as she says, more or less kills us with delight. It makes us ask, as she writes, "Oh, what is that beautiful thing that just happened?" Here's the thing about those kinds of places in our lives. We can't take credit for them. We didn't create them. They don't result from our efforts. We can only receive them as the gifts that they are. We can only open our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts, maybe especially our souls, and take them into us, deep into us. We can only give thanks, praise, or if you will, acclamation. I have, you all know this, I have no palliative for the pain of this world. I have no words, my own or others, to make it all come out right, even for a moment, especially in these times. What I do have, what I will offer, is an invitation. Today, I invite you to call to your mind the places that you receive simply as gifts. Gifts from capital L, life. Gifts from capital B, beauty. Gifts from capital G, or lowercase g, God. Might it be that in remembering them, we will also be reminded that just as we neither control nor choose so much of our pain and suffering and worries and troubles, neither do we create or earn so much of our joy, enjoyment, Life that can be so hard can also be so benevolent, so good. Perhaps in recalling these places, these experiences, and remembering them with gratitude, we'll tap into some deeper spiritual reservoir in us, and from it will bubble up other awarenesses that amidst our challenges, we have so much for which to be grateful, for which to praise, for which to give thanks. We'll remember that life is generous, and perhaps become more generous ourselves. Here's Mary Oliver's invitation. So, come to the pond or the river of your imagination or the harbor of your longing. And put your lips to the world and live your life.